Amen. Take this pulpit. If you have your Bible, get your Bible ready today. Amen. And at the end of the service, just don't leave and get out of here real quickly. Amen. Let's get in and cash in what God has for us today. Brother Roach, God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, family. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand of praise? Can we do that? All praise and honor belongs to Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Lord's in this house this morning. Come on, yes He is. Yes He is. Yes He is. So awesome to be here. So awesome. Amen. God bless you. Be seated for a moment if you would. Thankful for this opportunity to be here. It's like being at home. This church family has just been a blessing to us over the years. Jerry's good to see you. Good to see you. I'd start calling names, I'd run out here, but the Lord is just a mighty God. Amen. Amen. I appreciate Brother Sister Crosswhite and their family, all those kids. And, he has just been such a blessing, him and her both, and their family to us over the years. Came and was assistant pastor there with us and went through the trials and the hard times, putting up with me. Amen. But thank God, look around you and see what the Lord's done in his life. Don't you appreciate the Lord? If it had not been for Jesus, where would we be? Where would we be? Praise God. All the wonderful music, the singing. Amen. Sister Cock, Christian, I appreciate her so much. She has been a blessing to us. And she's been out to the deer lease. I don't know if she got a chance to shoot a deer or not. She did? All right. Amen. But all of those around and the pals, we sure love those kids, that family. I was preaching in Cisco, and they were nearby there in Eastland and came and was in service with us. And oh, what a blessing they have always been. But the Lord is good. I want to leave a testimony also with you. Some of you remember perhaps Jimmy Davis. He was in this church for a while. Some of you, I don't know. Wasn't very long ago, well, I say very long, maybe a year or so, Jimmy was diagnosed with cancer. Had cancer in his lymph nodes, both arms. Under one arm had a mass. He had to walk with his arms out. Been in this church, loved Brother and Sister Crosswhite, special part of our family. He's just like my son. He was in our private school there in Breckenridge, and I know his whole family. Diagnosed with cancer, and so he went and had surgery under one arm. And they cut out a mass. Went through chemo treatments, and the Lord touched him and helped him through. And then about 6 months or maybe a year later, he had surgery under his other arm, and they took out another mass. Just a mass. And he went and had this past week tests done. And doctor told him, said, "You're 100% clear." I tell you, the prayers of the Lord it's impossible to tell the glory of it all. Amen. But we love this church. We appreciate you allowing us to come. My wife's eldest sister, I think she's 91, and she is there. We were there last night, drove in yesterday afternoon late, was with her. She was very clear and was able to spend time with her. But they're putting her on hospice today, and we'll be there this afternoon with her and her family. 9 of those kids, there's only 5 left. When she goes, if she does, the Lord doesn't heal her, be 4. And I appreciate my wife. If it had not been for her and her mother's prayers, I wouldn't be standing here today. Don't ever think that your testimony doesn't count and that your prayers doesn't count. I appreciate my wife. I want her to stand, if she would, and leave us a word of testimony. Praise God. Amen, amen. And my daughter's with us this morning. It's always a blessing. This is the one that helps us remember who we are. Don't laugh on these days you get old. Praise God. But I love her and appreciate her. Stand and testify. Come on. Come on. Leave a word with us. Amen. Amen. What a mighty God. Several weeks ago, I was studying and putting things together. And then yesterday, well, this has been on my desk for some time, but yesterday I noticed it was there and I just kind of glanced over it and passed it on because I felt like the Lord was, whenever the Lord got ready, we would maybe preach this. But then in prayer last night and then a little after 3 o'clock this morning for a while, talking to the Lord, I felt impressed upon this, and I could feel the Spirit of God. And I feel like the Lord has something to say to us today. And I just want God's voice to speak to us. Amen. You know, so often we don't appreciate what God has done for us. And maybe the enemy would try to convince us otherwise, that we're not. But each one of us, each one of you that's sitting here this morning, God created you. Amen. You. He knows you. He understands you. And he loves you. You're a special person. Don't ever let the enemy try to tell you you're not. That's right. Amen. You're special in God's sight. But I want us to carry us down a road this morning of where the Spirit of the Lord had carried me in this message. And I hope that in your kindness to an old man, that you will understand the steps and the things that we're going. If you will stand with me, I want to go this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise God. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And I want to begin reading in verse number 8. Paul said, and we're talking about a man who knew what suffering was. He said, we are hard pressed on every side. Do you not feel it? Yet not crushed. We are perplexed. Have you not been there? Can you think about what has happened down at Kerrville? Out in New Mexico? Up in Oklahoma? We're perplexed in our world, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And then notice what Paul says to us. Always, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. In our body. Pastor.
Lord, we thank you for the word. Help us today to grasp. Help us to have an ear to
hear. Hallelujah.
Enable us to receive. Lord, to be led by your word today. Let it guide us and let it, Lord, today give us transformation. In Jesus' name.
Turn to your neighbor, greet them in Jesus' name, and let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 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 May God bless you. Be seated. I want to focus, if I may, and I hope you will allow me to just carry along as I feel in the Holy Ghost. I want to focus on this thought that only in the crucible of suffering is the truth made real. There have been times in my life, and probably in yours, when, can I say, I have uttered foolish prayers. Any humans here? When I've cried out to the Lord, when I've said, God, this is just too much. No more, Lord. I just don't feel like I can handle anymore. Another. I'm finished. And when I prayed like that, God would give me a fresh load. As if saying, don't say to me how much you can bear. For the Lord said he would never give us more than we're able to bear. And the promises of God are sure and amen. And he would say, don't tell me what you cannot carry. And I go to the writings of Jeremiah, the Lord, 18th chapter, very familiar portion of Scripture, verse 1. Jeremiah said the word. That's a powerful thought. I've already heard it here this morning about the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful when the word of God begins to speak to us. And I wonder sometimes if maybe we, in our avenues of life, we have since dulled our ears or our heart or our spirit to hear God's voice when he speaks to us. Jeremiah, the word which came spoken. Spoken. To Jeremiah from the Lord. A lot of voices in this world. A lot of voices in this world. But when God so speaks, Jeremiah recognized the voice. He understood the preeminence of that voice of God that was speaking to him. That is something we need to realize. When we saw Moses in the desert and he saw the bush burning, and he walked up to that voice, I mean to that bush, to see it, and God spoke to him out of the bush. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. I'm going to tell you, we're here this morning not to have play church or to have church. We're here to feel the unction of the essence of the voice of Almighty God from his word to our hearts, because we were created in his image by his hand. God wants to do something here this morning. Lord said, arise and go down. Not up, go down. Go down to the potter's house. Not a pretty place, but the potter's house. And he said, when you get there. Sometimes it takes us a little while to get there.
Yes, it does.
When you get there, he said, I will cause you to hear my words. You're not going to hear the word of the Lord until you get there to the place God wants you to be. And when he got there, he went down in that third verse, which is obedience, to the potter's house. And behold, Jeremiah, there's a vision for you. He, the potter, not you, not someone else, not an organization, not a crowd, not a worldly preference. But when you get to the potter's house, the potter. The potter. And he's had a vision that that potter was rotting a work on the wheels. Anybody would be here would be honest enough to say, I've been on the wheel of the potter. He wrought a work on the wheels, and Jeremiah's watching it. And he noticed there was a vessel there on that wheel that he was working on. And he noticed that that vessel was of clay and that it was marred. It was marred in the opinion of the potter. You know, sometimes we think everything's pretty good. Okay. But what God sees and what you see, or what I see, is two different things. Because the Master who created us knows and sees things that you and I do not see. And this vessel was marred. It was marred in the hands of the potter, but it tells us the story that when he got to that place that he could see the mar, he could see the potter, and he could see the clay, and he could see the work, but the word of the Lord had something else to say to him. He said, "So he made it again."
That's right.
Another vessel.
Right.
As seemed good to the potter that made it. Sometimes I feel like that as Christians we use God as a crutch in life. Something only used when we're in times of trouble or problems or cares. And I want us to realize and understand that pain is a part of life. Have you ever looked at God and with a look of fear and shock and betrayal, you felt like that your spirit is saying, "Well, God, how could you allow anything like this that's happened in my life to happen?" How many times have I heard the testimony out of people's mouth? "Well, if he's God, how come he let this happen?" Sometimes in our own lives, we find ourselves in situations we wonder, "God, how, why? What? What's going on? What's a part of our life?" You're saying through your spirit to the Lord that created you, "How could you let this happen? You knew, God, this was going to happen. It was going to be like this." And it happened. The shock is not so much of what God leads us to believe, but from what we hear from misguided teachers, misguided preaching. A zealous person who perhaps would tell us that the promises of life are free from suffering, that we have a message where somewhere this and that, and we want to celebrate continuously. But in the potter's house, I'm going to tell you the word of the Lord. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, Peter writing, he said, "Beloved, do not think it a strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Sometimes the road is long and painful, but I'm telling you, on the other side of the trial, on the other side of the trouble, on the other side, on the other side of where God the potter is leading you, there is something God is developing. There is something God is building. God has a purpose for your life. You were created in his hand. There's a goal for the end of your faith, and that goal is the salvation of your soul. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. We experience pain and grief for a reason. Because it is while we are in the fire that the perplexity of the fire criticizes us, brings us to the reality of where truth is. But there's another side to this fire. As the dross is burned away, the genuine of the proof of the truth of Almighty God begins to come forth. That crucifying of suffering brings truth to a real place in our lives. How great is God under the salvation that we should be there. John 14:6 put it this way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Hallelujah. The apostles of Jesus Christ were great sufferers. Because believers may be forsaken of their friends, persecuted by their enemies, but God said, I will never leave you or never forsake you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, in the fire, God's going to be there. Ask the three Hebrew children when they were through in the fire. They said, oh, I see something more than three men there. I see a fourth man, and that fourth man looks like the Son of God. Oh, I'm telling you, we in church this morning because we're here, but God's in this house. It doesn't matter if you're in a fire, God's in the fire. It doesn't matter if you're in a trial, God's in the trial. It doesn't matter if you're feeling the suffering of a lifestyle, God's right there in the middle of that suffering. There ought to be something in us that says, God, it's not that I suffer, it's that the potter's got his hand on me.
Yes, indeed.
A lot of fears there in the trial. A lot of fears within. A lot of fears fighting within herself. You ever argued with yourself? How many of them did you win? But we're still here. Come on. If it hadn't been for Jesus, where would I be? If it hadn't been for God in my life and the trials of my life, I wouldn't be here. But God put me on a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ, and that rock is the potter's house. Hallelujah. I tell you, I feel victory in this place this morning. I feel the power of God wanting to touch a soul. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the battle is that you're faced with. I don't know what the fire of the enemy is building around you. But I'm telling you, in this last day, my God is in the house. My God is in this place. My God is in your life. My God is there to take care of you. My God has an answer for every trial, every problem, every care. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our suffering is as the suffering for Christ. Hallelujah. Suffering of Christ. That's the resurrection of Christ. Can be seen in us. Can be in us. That the grace of Christ, of a living God, can have purpose in our life. It's not that God puts too much on us. It's that God's got his molding hand there. It's God's got his hand in our life. It's God's got his hand in our way. Do we stop long enough and find a prayer room to say, God, I'm in your hands and that's all right. I'm in your way, God, and that's all right. I may not have what I want, but God, what you want, that's all right. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tries the hearts. In Psalms 12 and 6, the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. What a contrast between the vain words of man, oh my, and the pure words of Jehovah God. Think about it. Man's words are yea and nay, but the Lord's words are yea and amen. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, when I'm standing in the trial and I feel the heat of the battle, it's when I can say yea and amen, Lord. It's right, God. It's all right with me. It's all right with me, God, because I know that in your hands all things are well. In your hands, God, right is right and wrong is wrong. In your hands, God, there's a pathway that I don't understand. But God, I know you're going to lead me and you'll never forsake me. I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the battle is. But I know a God that's able to take care of where I'm at, where I'm going, and what I need. Hallelujah. When I can get on my knees at an altar, when I can find God's awesomeness, and I can find that place where I put this on an altar and let God apply the power of his spirit, the fire of his spirit. There's a burning that takes place that takes out what don't need to be there and puts in what needs to be there. Truth, holiness, faithfulness, certainty. There's a lot of words that fit. Sometimes we want to put an explanation about just one thing, but all those things of God. He's all truth. He's all everything. He's all purpose. He's all direction. He's all healing. He's all inspiration. He's all undertaking. He's everything that we need in our life. Are the words of the Lord, they're pure, refined like silver is. There's an illusion so often that the most severe purifying process known to the ancients, like silver was given when the greatest possibility of purity was desired. What do you want God in your life to be? Just a part-time God? Just a sometime God? Just a little bit God? Just enough God to get me by? Oh, I'm telling you, God's going to have a church, that church built in fire, and that church built in the glory, that in the crucible of suffering, that truth will be made real. I'm telling you, God's got a real church. It doesn't play church. It stands in the fire. And when the enemy's coming and the powers of hell and darkness are trying to undertake, I'm telling you, God can bring revival out of the midst of it. God brings the power of redemption in the house. God takes a soul off of the back pew of life and brings them to the forefront and said, let me work on you a little while. I got something powerful for you. I got something great and mighty for you. I got something like you've never dreamed of. I got a promise on.
Yes, come on. Yes.
So many people are in the illusion. Well, if God loved me, he wouldn't. Silver. Dross. When it's all consumed, when it's all gone, it's the only bright and precious thing that remains. When the world's gone away, God's going to be there. When all the ambitions of humanity is passed on, when the things that I thought was so important in my life, when they're gone, when I realize and come to the reality that when I come to the end of the road, that at the end of suffering, that there's a purity of truth that comes out in our heart. There's something precious. It, when God gets through with it, God's prepared me for a place called heaven, that where he is, I may be also. God's prepared a place for the church. He said the gates of hell are not even prevail against my church. You're talking about a powerful church. You're talking about a glorious church. You're talking about a church that's able. You're talking about a church that knows healing and knows deliverance and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God gets through, he burns away the dross. It's clean. It's free from the alloys of error and unfaithfulness. And the book of the Lord, the words of the Lord, are the pure words, are the power, are the place that you and I ought to be. It's that place where only the crucible of suffering in the truth made real. The Bible has passed through the furnace of persecution. Literary criticism, philosophical doubt, scientific discovery. It has lost nothing but those human interpretations which cling to it. As alloys are precious to God, as the truth is precious. And it leaves the experiencing of saints that have tried and understand that in God's hand, I am where I'm at today because of him. It was because of the suffering I went through that God kept his hand upon me. When I was in the field of the enemy, God was there. When I was feeling the persecution of the wickedness of my own flesh, my God was there. When there was the understanding, I don't know what to do with the answers of the problems I'm facing, but God was there. I'm telling you, there's something so powerful. There's nothing that lasts like God does. There's nothing that's greater than God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Ever experienced saint of God has tried and understand, been through the fire. I don't know how long some of you have been living for God. But I'm telling you, there's something about the power and the joy of the Holy Ghost. You remember the first time you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What a fire it had in your soul and in your spirit. Have we grown cold? Have we grown lukewarm? Have we forgotten how sweet it was when I felt the sins of my burdens, of my soul, of my mistakes, of my failures roll from my shoulders and from my life, and I felt the freedom and the joy of God? I'm telling you, God's still standing there. I tell you, God's still there right now. God's waiting on you. There's something about it. In the suffering that we go through, God, I'm willing. Take me, Lord, wherever I need to go. Take me, Lord. Take me by the hand. God, when you're leading, you're the shepherd. When you're hallelujah. I tell you, God wanting to heal somebody right here this morning. God's wanting to put a divine purpose in your life that has long been cast aside. God's got the power of the Holy Ghost just waiting on you. You're in the potter's hands. Sometimes it takes, when mother get a belt out, boy, it got quiet. I wonder if we could get Sister Crosswhite back there to testify. Did you have a flash water, sister, or switch, or belt? Just whatever was good. But what God does, the work of the Lord is for his children. Yes, they are. For his children to be what they should be. Jeremiah, you're in the potter's house. I want you to see something. I want you to understand that God's trying to save your soul. I want you to understand that God's got a purpose in your life. That God's got a language to speak to you that only your heart and only through suffering that you can hear the voice of God and know what he wants to do in your life. Are we willing to say amen? Are we willing to say yes, Lord, and amen? I'm telling you, sometimes we have to pick ourselves up off of the floor in a puddle of tears and self-pity. And I've been in that place before. And I think I'm speaking to a house right here that knows and understands what I'm saying. But what we need to do is get a hold of the fire and realize that in the persecution of my suffering, in the pain of my suffering, makes truth perfect. It makes it real. It makes the power of God real. I tell you, I don't want a false religion. I don't want to play church. I don't want to be in the background. I don't want to be waist deep in sin. I don't even want to be knee deep. I don't want to be nowhere. I want God. Hallelujah. I believe we ought to have church. We ought to have God's church. I believe we ought to have church. We ought to have true church. We ought to have church. We ought to have powerful church. Words of the Lord are pure words. You can inspect them. You can try to detach them from the book. You can try to please them in your way of thinking. But when you read them, when you go to the potter's house, Jeremiah, go down there. And I'm going to cause you. You're not going to hear it till you get there. You're not going to appreciate it until you walk through the fire and you come out the other side. Right. and you see the glory. I tell you, one glimpse of glory. One glimpse on the other side. One glimpse of the sweetness of the love of Jesus Christ. There's nobody that can know you and love you any more than he can. You see, he went to the pinnacle of the place called Christ at Golgotha on a hill of suffering, that he suffered that you and I can have salvation, that you and I can have redemption, that you and I can have forgiveness of our sins. How powerful is that? I'm telling you, that made him the truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's power in the suffering. There's power in persecution. There's power in the trouble. To carry the character of Jesus Christ. A people who have made a difference. You see, it's not about what you've got. It's not about your education. It's not about your money. It's not about your fame. It's not about your accomplishments. It's about a soul. It's about a soul. When you get to the end, all of that other stuff's going to be gone, but there's going to be a soul standing there. Amen. With God. We need to let the wisdom and the honesty of God, without fear, knowing that he's going to take care of us, knowing that he knows what we need, that in the kindness and love of his, of the crucible of suffering, that God's going to give us truth made real. You ever eat any imitation cake? You ever eat it? I mean, we're living in a world that lives off of imitation. Boy, that was quiet out there. Hallelujah. How much of God? How great is he? Age of our world. We need the wisdom directed to our hearts, to our souls, with an honest mind. I remember the night God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Only thing I could say was, oh, it's real. It's so real. It's real. It's real. Oh, my God, it's real. It's real. It's so real. And my journey began. So powerful. It put meaning and it put force and it put the reflection of my own iniquity in front of me and made me to know it's not a difficult matter to smear or blot out the pages of our past. To be accused of the foul stains of our yesterdays. And men of corrupt minds have cast upon that. But I'm going to tell you, we have a stainless author. We have a stainless. Praise God, stand with me. If we honestly look at it as it is, we find that the like of this altar is without blemish and without spot. And only in the crucible of suffering on a place called Calvary was the truth made real. Let's bow our heads. Life demands so much. So much. Jeremiah, go down there to the potter's house. He's got a vessel down there. He's working on it. God knew about the vessel before he ever sent him down there. And he is the author of the potter. And he said, "That potter, I see a flaw in the vessel. And the potter crushed it down so he could make it another vessel. It may not have been what he originally wanted it to be. Been there. He wasn't able to make it what it could have been. Been there. But he made it a vessel. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're feeling like, God, I'm a mess. And I have felt the suffering of my failures and inconsistencies and trials and downfallings. And I wished that I hadn't the past, so many things. But the potter said, I can make you a vessel. I can make you a vessel. I know it's this and I know it's that, and you know, and I know. But God said, I can make you. And he talked to Jeremiah. He said, couldn't I make you another vessel? Could not I make Israel another vessel? Could I not make them? That's the reason I want you to stop and look yourself right in the mirror. Just you. And your soul, and realize you were created by God. And his love for you is so powerful, so great, so pure, so kind, so merciful. The potter didn't give up on the clay. And my God hasn't given up on you. Amen. All it takes is to go down to the potter's house and see the vision that God can make the vessel. Go ahead. I don't know who the Lord's talking to here this morning.
A willing vessel, a vessel you.
but we're living at the end of time. I feel in this house this morning a struggling of a soul. I feel the burden of failures, and look what a mess I'm in, Lord. And I feel like nobody cares or nobody understands. But God does. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what has happened. But I care about your soul. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. What matters is what you'll let God do. I tell you, I feel the pulling of God right here. Right here. If you would be willing, if you'd be willing to just say, God, I know I have felt pain. I know I felt a sense of failures. I felt the ridicules of others. I felt the darkness. I felt the pain. Felt all those things, Lord. But in this house this morning, Lord, I feel the hand of the potter. I feel my heart being moved and pulled. I feel the touch of love that comes only from heaven. Shovel. Sweetness, God, that cares about me, that loves me, that died for me, hasn't given up on me.
I want to be
only through
the instrument that you choose.
Suffering.
I want to empty of myself, available.
It's true.
To you. Let me be a willing vessel.
Made pure. See, on the other side of the pain is the victory. On the other side of the molding is the vessel that God desires.
A vessel you can use.
Joy.
I want to be a willing vessel, the instrument.
God cares about you. Don't just sit there. Don't let the enemy keep you away. Come on down and let the potter put his hand on you. Let the hand of the Spirit of God just begin to move that heart. Not what it is. What God is. I'm willing, God. Make me. I'm willing, God. Teach me. I'm willing, God. I surrender. God, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you.
I consecrate.
I love you, Lord.
I dedicate my life, my will.
Oh, why don't you pray with someone standing close to you?